Time is 5:01 in the Warwick City Council. Finance Committee is now open in session. May I have an acceptance for the minutes of the committee meeting held on September 16th? I move favorable action. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. On to PCR 92-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held September 16th?
So moved.
All in favor?
Yes.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The first item on the bid is bid 2025-217, DPW repair and replace frame on engine 3. This is found on page 1. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Eric Earls, Public Works. So engine 3, it's a 2007 Pierce pumper. It has a rotted frame. There have been a lot of internal conversations about the cost-benefit analysis with regard to what to do, new versus repair. Ultimately, it was decided to repair the vehicle. We tried to look for local entities that could do it, but none were available. So that's why we are looking to award to Pierce Manufacturing the amount of $377,480 to repair engine 3.
Thank you. If I may just take a little bit of time to explain or to go over my conversation, I called Chief Peter McMichael over the course of the week, and my concern to this body was that it seems to me that, you know, the Pierce pumper was purchased, the frame rotted, and we're going right back to Pierce to replace the frame. And the chief agreed that it seemed a little odd. However, when you look at, he assured and he said that the body of the truck is in mint condition. The mechanics are in mint condition. Everything, the truck is worthy. And now the cost to buy a new vehicle to replace this current vehicle where the frame is completely rusted would be more than double the cost of replacing the frame. So even though it's a 2007, they would replace the frame and they would replace it with a galvanized steel. Am I saying that correctly?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I would.
And ask. I'm sorry. He did say that. I just wanted to make sure I said the right one. So after some discussion, it really calmed me down because I had a big issue with, as someone who dealt with a vehicle that had a rotted frame and then had to repair it from the same company that built it on a rotted or sold it that ended up becoming a rotted frame. He calmed me down by saying this truck is in excellent condition with the exception of the frame. And when you look at, as you said, Director, at the very beginning, the cost analysis that if we were to go out to bid, one, there's a long delay. We have about a 2-year delay on bringing in the new apparatuses where this could be a good fix on a good truck with the exception of a frame. Does that sound all about the same as what the conversation was with the department that you had?
Yeah, that's accurate, 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. So I want to thank the Chief McMichael, the department, and DPW because we did have an extensive conversation, and this does seem to be the smart way to go, where you have a good body, a good pumper, a good engine, everything solid, but it needs a new frame. So any questions from members of this committee?
No, nope. Oh, I appreciate you giving that information because I was concerned.
Right. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Director.
Good evening.
Eric, how many miles on this 2007?
I do not have that handy. I apologize. Christy sent me a text right before the meeting saying she wasn't going to be able to attend because she was sick. So I might have to tag out to have
okay,
fire
sure.
department help me out.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief Peter McMichael. The mileage on the vehicle is 123,000 miles. It just had some extensive engine work done to it. So this expenditure is something that none of us are happy about. We're not pleased at all to see us have to invest this kind of money into a truck that should not have had this problem. This is why when we come before you now, we come before you now with new apparatus that is galvanized frame rails so that we never have to worry about the frame rotting out. After careful consideration and discussion with the superintendent of repairs and DPW, we wanted his weigh-in as to whether or not it was worth putting this kind of an investment into this truck, and he deemed it an appropriate expenditure as well. The alternative is to take the truck off the road permanently, and we're now looking at apparatus replacement costs for a new vehicle north of over $800,000 for a new pumper today. So because of those factors, that's why we determined that this was a proper use of our funds to put this truck back on the road. Because of the condition of the vehicle and getting the weigh-in from the automotive experts in it, that it was a sound move.
Thank you, Chief. Councilman, well, thank you so much. You have the time. But I do appreciate the chief, and I should have called him out to begin with. Thank you.
So, Chief, you may want to just stay there. So over the years, and particularly recently, we have approved the purchase of a good amount of vehicles for the fire department. And oftentimes, someone from the department would come before us and tell us that the trucks need to be replaced because they're, you know, 15, 20 years old. They have 150, 160,000 miles on them, and you know, they're about used up their useful life. And now you come before us asking for close to $400,000, or about half of what a new truck would cost, for just a frame. And that is very concerning to me. And I understand about this frame you're talking about will last forever, but the rest of the truck will not last forever. The engine still has 123,000 miles on it. Everything else on that truck, we've replaced $35,000, $40,000 on the front of a truck that hit a Poliet recently, or a Colliet recently. That's just to fix that. So I have a lot of concerns with spending $377,000 on a frame that will outlast a truck. And by your history, you're looking, typically you come before us for new vehicles in that 150,000, 160,000 mile range. So what we're talking about here is to give you $380,000 worth of frame to last us maybe another 25,000 to 30,000 miles, maybe a couple of years, maybe the engine won't blow, et cetera, et cetera. It's also concerning that this truck is going to be transported all the way to Wisconsin to do this. And there is so many what ifs in this bid that really raises red flags to me. What ifs? So the what ifs are a warranty, right? There's no particular warranty as far as the whole vehicle goes. There's also other contingencies, or could be consequential repairs, such as emergency parking brake tests, the incoming battery load test, electrical inspections, chassis, road tests, pumps, etc. All of these things are not known right now, and they also could be issues that need to be repaired. And once this truck is in Wisconsin, we are at their beck and call. They own us for whatever has to be done and for whatever price they want to charge. And I am particularly not comfortable with that. We also have, or I also have, some questions on some of the language, because I think oftentimes, if not all the time, words matter. And on the air system, as an example, it says replace the air tanks and mounting brackets, replace, replace, replace. Further down on replace fuel tank, it says replace the fuel tank with a new tank. Replace the fuel tank monitoring straps with new straps. Replace the fuel fill holes with new hose, new clamps. Replace the fuel tank sending unit. On the air system, it doesn't say replace with new. It just says replace. So are we to assume that that could mean remove and replace? Or does it mean replace with new? It doesn't say. It also says have front end alignment checked and rear axle tracking set. So that's not included either. That's an additional cost. And lastly, it's concerning to me that once again, no one has verified the math on the numbers, because 20% of $314,480 does not come up to $377,480. It comes up to $377,376. One might say it's only $100 or $104. I don't look at it as only $104. I look at it as this is just one more example of the lack of detail in these pricings and the math on these items that come before us. And it's apparent that there isn't a lot of double checking taking place. So I respectfully disagree with you on this. I don't think that this is a good deal for the taxpayers. Thinking more that it's, well, we've only got a few months left to get rid of the rest of the COVID money or use up the rest of the COVID money so we don't have to send it back. I think this, as well as some other things that are in here with COVID money, I think that's what's happening with some of this. Perhaps that the rest of this COVID money could be used for other things, such as infrastructure in our parks, etc. So I cannot support this for those reasons. And Chairman, I would ask for a PCR on this item, please.
Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR? Repeat, please.
It's PCR 9524.
Thank you. For the record, bid 2025-217, repair and replace frame on engine 3, is now PCR 95-24.
Mr. Chairman, at the very least, the monetary amount needs to be amended to the correct amount.
Okay, hold on. I would like to get through the comments or questions from members of the council. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So I understand from the director's comment earlier that there was certainly a hope that the bid would come back a little bit lower, perhaps from a more local company that didn't involve transportation. I think this location is probably about or over 1,000 miles away, more or less. I'm trying to get a sense of at what point would we say that it simply doesn't make sense to take this this route of getting it repaired? Obviously, it was certainly worth looking into getting it repaired, but then at what point, and I don't mean to say anything here or ask anything that could be less than ideal for bidding processes, but of course, Every one of these vehicles is unique. There is a unique assessment to every single one of these. So I'm certainly not trying to put anything out there in public that would encourage vendors in the future to go a little higher. But if you could say, where is that tipping point where one would say, okay, at that point, at that kind of a price point, it would be too much to go through this repair. It would make sense just to go that other route of selling this vehicle as is and trying to replace it with something else, whether new or used.
So if we were to replace this vehicle today, as I had stated, it would be over $800,000 is the last time we went out to bid for a pumper truck is what those prices are coming back to us now. I can tell you that the availability of ARPA funds did not affect our decision in this process. We looked at it as whether or not we repair the vehicle or not. And so I'm not a mechanic, which is why we rely on DPW and the experts there in the repair division to weigh in on this. And because of the condition of the truck, the condition of the engine, we foresee getting 10 plus years out of this truck going forward. So this is a truck that we're not going to only have it for 3 or 4 more years. We're looking at between 10 and 15 years of frontline service for this vehicle that this truck would be good for. So based on that information was why we determined that our best course of action would be to repair the vehicle and put it back in service rather than retire it and replace it with the cost of a new vehicle.
So I'm double checking here, but I believe that the vehicle, yes, it's a 2007.
That's a misprint. It's actually 2011.
Oh, 2011. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That can, of course, certainly make a difference. I'm just part of this calculation is I'm thinking to myself too, that I drive a 2007 Hyundai Elantra. I don't necessarily see myself getting 10 more years out of that vehicle. Look online, look at the prices of that vehicle. Well, I'll put it this way. For me to get a brand new model, it's going to be, it'd be pretty expensive. Probably, and I haven't looked this up, but I'd venture brand new car looking at over 20 grand. Suffice to say, I would not put 50% of the value of a brand new car into my 2007, because then I'd be talking putting 10 grand into a vehicle that objectively is most definitely worth less than 5 grand. So I don't think that's a roundabout way of saying that. I know that Warwick has gone out and purchased used fire apparatus before. I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily the best route to go, because that can be very much hit or miss. But buying a new vehicle isn't necessarily the best benchmark to use either when it comes to a decision as to whether or not to replace the rotted frame on this vehicle. I will say that I'm a little bit torn, because the numbers, I'm not a mechanic. I don't have personal familiarity with this vehicle whatsoever. So I would be inclined to defer to the administration on something like this, the administration being the experts, knowing this vehicle, doing these assessments. And yet at the same time, these numbers, they're not entirely adding up to me. I think that Councilman Lattiser, while I'm not going to go there on the ARPA funds, because I would certainly agree there are plenty of other areas where the administration is going to have no trouble at all spending those ARPA funds. I think that Councilman Lattiser does raise some very good points when it comes to all of the unknowns in this particular vehicle in the process. And the only thing that we really know is that the initial repair amount on this is being estimated at, well, not estimated, but purchase order, initial repair amount, $314,480, and we're factoring in a contingency of 20% on top of that, which is a pretty good contingency, I would say, but we just have so many unknowns when it comes to this vehicle. I suppose that all of this is more thinking out loud than it is asking more specific questions, but I think that maybe from this stream of thoughts, if you'd be able to answer to as to some of these concerns. Thank you.
The hesitation that you have on this is certainly understandable, Councilman. We also share that same hesitation in this matter. This is not something that we bring to you lightly. This is something that we went back and forth for a while on about what to do. None of us are happy about this. This should not happen with a vehicle of this age. We have seen throughout the region vehicles by this manufacturer of this age have experienced similar frame issues. We've followed some of the lawsuits that have taken place in regards to it, and they have not been successful, which is why we don't think it's smart to go down that avenue as well, because it's already been done by other communities. There's nothing good about this, other than the fact that if we do put this money into the vehicle, we do expect to get, as I had said, between 10 to 15 years of life out of the truck. We're not happy about having to allocate this amount of money into a truck that is a 2011. We should not have to do this. But yet here we find ourselves with this vehicle that Public Works has already determined that it's not safe for the road because of the frame. And so we are left to come up with a decision. Do we put money into it or do we put it out the pasture? And so I think it would be equally upsetting if we put it out the pasture because of the frame rot, which leaves us with the only other alternative, which is to send it to the manufacturer for replacement.
Thank you. And a couple of quick follow-ups here. Is this 2011 a vehicle that the city had bought new? And also, has there been any research into what would it look like? What would we expect to be able to sell it for in as-is condition?
The vehicle was purchased new. I don't have an answer to the question of what it'd be worth right now if we sold it. I honestly don't. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And for the record, there will be an amendment done within this. The chief did clarify, and I forgot to mention that in my notes. It says in the statement that it's a 2007. It's actually a 2011.
That's correct.
Correct. Yes, thank sir. You. This is it. We are discussion engine 3, which is a 2011 Pierce Pumper. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
So, Chief, how did this paperwork come to us saying it's a 2007?
As you know, Councilman, the repairs of the vehicles are handled through DPW. So I'm not sure exactly how it came to be that it was labeled as a 2007, but the vehicle is a 2011 vehicle.
So currently this vehicle is 13 years old. What's the oldest pumper that you have now?
The oldest pumper we have right now is, we just took engine one out of service. It's 07. 07, yeah, 2007.
So it's an 07?
Yes.
And that's the oldest vehicle you have. So it's 17 years old. And am I correct remembering that it seems as though the history is that every 15 years or so, your fire department has been replacing vehicles?
Ideally, it's been more towards the 20-year mark.
Okay. So why do you expect this vehicle, just because it has a new chassis, doesn't have a transmission, a drivetrain, an engine, it doesn't have all the other gears and operations that this vehicle is requiring, it doesn't have axles, it doesn't have bearings, it doesn't have any of the other stuff. We're talking about a chassis. Why do you think that you're going to get another 10 to 15 years, somewhere between 24 and 28 years out of a vehicle when you have never gotten such performance out of any vehicle? Just because you're getting a new chassis doesn't inject another 10 years of life into a vehicle. This whole thing just doesn't make any sense to me. Sorry. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. So are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Okay, so I will address, as I said, bid 2025-217 is now PCR 95-24. There was a request by Councilman Lattisor to go ahead and amend the amount of the 20%. So to explain for clarity, the original amount being asked is $314,481. If you multiply that by to increase it by 20%, so multiply by 1.2, it comes to $377,376. The ask on the document paper on the proposal is $377,480,000. That is a $104 difference. The other item that would need to be looked at is that it states in the paper that it is a 2007 Pierce pumper. However, it is a 2011 pumper, as stated by the chief. I will first seek so before we put forward for an amendment on the PCR 95-24, my input is we are authorizing to spend. Doesn't mean that these are the exact amounts to spend. So though Councilman Lattisor is correct that if we were to go to an exact dollar amount of $377,376 and the document paper says $377,480, that is a $104 difference. That is above this 20%. However, this is an authorization to spend. This is just giving them to a cap of spending. So I'm going to choose not to put forward a motion for that amendment just because it's really just not necessary. However, if there is someone in the committee who would want to put forward that motion, I'll hear it and it'll be seconded.
So moved.
Is there a second? That is failed. So now to go on to the 2007 to a 2011. Within this, I am going to ask for a motion to amend to change the wording in the proposition paper for clarity from a 2007 change. We don't have to do that.
Mr. Chairman,
please.
The supportive materials can be corrected by the department and updated accordingly. It's not actually part of the bid resolution that we have before us, so no amendment needed there, and the departments can update
okay.
that paperwork.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Solicitor. So with that said, and going through everything and no amendment needed, do I have a motion on PCR 95-24? Do I have a second? Seconded? All in favor?
Aye.
No. Thank you. Next is bid 2025-218, purchase various police vehicles. Good evening, Major.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department.
The police department is requesting spending authority under City Ordinance 56-6, exception to bid for the amount of $115,447.20 to purchase various police vehicles. The three vehicles would be purchased from Colonial Municipal Group under the Plymouth County Commissioners Cooperative Bid. If approved, funding would be derived from pre-approved ARPA capital outlay funds, budget code 510-05030.
Thank you, Major. I see that these vehicles would be assigned to the task force detective personnel, and that's why there's all different brands of vehicles, not traditional Ford pursuit vehicles?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Are there any questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisore.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
Major, why do we need a Grand Cherokee Laredo versus a Chevrolet Blazer or a Chevrolet Malibu? This, when I'm looking at this, I'm taking away the same feeling as I had with the previous bid on this fire truck regarding the APRA funds. So tell me why we need a Grand Cherokee versus a Chevrolet Malibu, which is an $18,000 difference.
A big part of it is availability. These vehicles are currently in stock on the lot at Colonial Municipal Group. And we try to have a variety of vehicles. The vehicles are semi-covert, so we don't want to have all one type of recognizable vehicle.
So I still look at taxpayer dollars, and I understand about comfort. I've always supported the SUVs versus, the smaller Ford Tauruses or whatever you were using years ago. But I have a real hard time with this item here because of the significant difference in the price and the fact of the time that's actually spent in these vehicles. And I'm sure, or at least I think it's fair to say, that the police department isn't desperate for vehicles. We've approved a significant amount of vehicles for the police department in a short period of time. And I'm sure that there are plenty of Malibus and Blazers on different lots. Doesn't have to necessarily be a Chevrolet either. So with that said, in these vehicles, do these vehicles, not just these three vehicles, do other vehicles, do they go home with any of the police officers?
These particular ones do not, no.
Any others?
Some vehicles, depending on person's assignment.
Okay. And I don't know, maybe the chief of staff would have to answer this question, but these vehicles that are taken home by employees of the city.
Councilman, if I may remind you that he just answered the question, these particular vehicles are not part of the vehicles that'll be taken home. So if we could stick to the bid, thank you.
So as I was saying, these vehicles that the police department are allowed to take home.
Councilman, once again, he already made clear that these vehicles are not included in that. So we are speaking about the purchase of these three vehicles, and the major has already clarified these vehicles will not be taken home. So if you could continue with any questions that have to do with this bid of these three vehicles. Thank you.
So let me rephrase the question. If these three vehicles were allowed to be taken home.
Excuse me, Councilman. Major, will these three vehicles be taken home?
Not to my knowledge, not these three assigned vehicles. No.
Thank you. Councilman, if there are any questions pertaining to this bid.
Is it difficult to understand my request of the question, if these vehicles were taken home?
This question could be emailed and you could get an easy answer and you could read the statement in the council chambers, but we are speaking about three vehicles that the major has already clarified these will not be taken home. These will be special task vehicles.
Question to the solicitor. Can the question that I asked regarding if these three vehicles are taken home, is that question appropriate?
The chairman is opining that the question is outside the scope of germaneness because this the hypothetical you're posing has been asked and answered as it relates to the reality of that. So the chair is making an opinion that that question is unnecessary and outside the germaneness.
Okay. So I'll get the answers to that question, I guess, at another time. You indicated that the purchase of these three vehicles would complete your 2025 fiscal purchase plan. That is as presented in the capital budget?
Yes.
And the numbers that you have been approved in the capital budget have not been exceeded by this purchase right here?
No, I believe it's about a $5,000 balance remaining.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chairman, I'm going to ask for PCR on this.
Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR on bid 2025-218?
It's PCR 9624.
Thank you so much. For the record, bid 2025-218, purchase of various police vehicles, is now PCR 9624. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there any further questions for members of this council? Are there any further questions for members of the public? Thank you. May I have a motion on PCR 96-24?
Move favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number three is bid 2025-207, DPW Sanitation Fleet Software. This is found on page 13. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Eric Earls, Public Works. So Public Works is looking to award a three-year term to Rubicon Technologies for GPS software for the sanitation vehicles. You'll probably remember I was up here over a year ago talking about GPS for the sanitation vehicles. We were going to use Verizon was the entity, and everybody was on board with it. Good idea, track the sanitation trucks. There were lots of bugs in that program or in that, you know, everything. First of all, when we got the software or the GPS systems had to be hardwired into the trucks. And a lot of times that threw up codes for the trucks and created issues with regard to that. But more importantly, even when they were running, they weren't giving us the information we were hoping for. It was a very static image of where the trucks were. You could see that a truck had gone down a street, but it wasn't really great at providing more information than that. You know, if a truck was driving down Sandy Lane and they were full halfway down Sandy Lane, and that's when they decided that they were going to continue to Johnston to dump, it would have looked like they picked up everything on Sandy Lane, right? Because that's what their track was, that's what the GPS was saying. This program is actually geared specifically towards sanitation, the sanitation fleet. When you walk in the morning, all of the locations will have orange dots. When they are collected, they will have green dots. So it's really going to be a good way for us to maximize our efficiency. Not only that, and probably most importantly, You'll see that the pay structure is such that the first year is a little bit more. In the first year, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to take all of our routes and input them into their software program to maximize the efficiency. So they will provide our drivers with the best, most efficient way to conduct their routes. Not only that, but if they have to share, for example, we have 12 trucks out on the road today. That means that two routes are open, one recycling, one sanitation. So that route has to be shared. With this program, the drivers will know exactly how to share that route. They'll be dropped into locations where there won't be overlap. And like I said, it'll just provide a significant amount of efficiency. In addition to that, one of the other things we talked about with regard to the sanitation fleet was maintenance. And we have been doing our preventive maintenance, but the way it's handled is that the guys will perform their walk around and have a piece of paper, hand that off. At the end of the day, perform the walk around, have a piece of paper, hand that off, and that gets circulated to the sanitation, automotive, and then they get checked like that. This software will allow them to input that electronically. So in the morning, they will do their checks, input that electronically. It will go to the people that need to see it. In the afternoon, they'll do the same thing. Any kind of deviations or red flags that show up, you know, bald tires, leaky hydraulics, anything like that will be identified in real time, and then we'll be able to address those things with much more efficiency. So anyway, that's where we are with this program.
Director, question for you. When the garbage is, when the sanitation picks up a location, two-part question, when the sanitation picks up at a location, what tells that computer that it is picked up and that the driver did not, you know, leave that street for whatever reason? So if, as the driver passes those locations, they automatically turn green, or does the driver have to manually input?
It acknowledges the stop, right? So if you're at a location and it stops for 8 seconds, that will make the assumption, sure, you could stop everywhere and not pick up any trash, but the assumption will be that if it stops there for 8 seconds or so, that it has collected whatever was there.
So that's a perfect follow-up to the second question. I have gotten phone calls, and I do realize you've trained new drivers. You've also smartened the routes. But I've gotten phone calls repeatedly, including on my own street, my neighbors who kind of look at me cross-eyed, you know, you're the councilman. How come our garbage doesn't get picked up? I know that other council members have gotten phone calls from constituents. Is the route pre-planned? So if you do have a new driver, is there a map that that person can see on that screen or anything like that in case they did miss a street that can send them back, that it'll alert them like, hey, this street wasn't picked up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, it has the capability of allowing residents to see when their trash has been collected. It also has the ability for our drivers to take pictures of locations. For example, if they're driving and they're picking up recycling and they see that, I don't know, there's, you know, fluorescent light bulbs sticking out of the unit and they don't pick it up, they can take a picture of it. That picture can get registered to that location. So when we get that call, we can say, oh, this is why we didn't pick up your recycling that day. And similarly, we'll also be able to indicate, you know, if someone calls and says, oh, you know, they missed me today. You know, the driver could theoretically look and say, I went by that house, the trash wasn't out yet, which, you know, it happens. It happens. And in those instances, we'll just go out and grab it. That's not a big deal. We understand. But yeah, I hope that answers your question.
No, that did answer the question. Thank you. And now how would the capability be available, even though it's capable of doing that, will the residents have the availability to go on our city website and do that?
Yes. Okay. I don't want to make any promises because I don't know how quickly we can turn that around, but that is one of the selling points that they have. Yes.
Okay. All right. I understand. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, of course, Councilman Gephardt.
I'm just going to say that this is fantastic. It was good to see when we first went down this path and now a purpose-built application for this specific function that we're performing is wonderful. The more we can drive this into all of our operations, I think the better off we'll be. I feel like this one's going to pay for itself. I don't know if the sales reps push some kind of ROI, but I'm sure there's one there, even just in terms of operating more efficiently. So thank you for pursuing this. Any pushback from drivers or any pushback from employees on adopting something like this, or are you getting pretty good reviews?
No, I think the initial indications are that they're on board with it, largely because they do a good job. And sometimes, you know, they are accused, may not be the right word, but this will add accountability for all parties.
Yep.
And I think that is good.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
So how exactly would it work with the website application or the like? Is this something where I imagine that there wouldn't have to be like a resident login or anything? It's a matter of all the data would just be out there and public?
No, the resident would have to log in. They would have to specifically request that they receive notifications when the trash is collected.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that actually solves some of my concerns there. I mean, if USPS can do that for our incoming mail, I suppose that we can do this at that level too. Let's see. I did have one or two more questions. Just taking a quick look over this. Okay, so one question being, what's the difference in price for this service as opposed to the one we were previously using?
This one's a little bit more expensive, but you know, with the amount of additional pieces that are offered in this, like the councilman said, we anticipate that this will pay for itself in a year, just on efficiencies, gas, vehicle maintenance. Like I said, the level of accountability for our drivers, you know, making sure their routes are taken care of, making sure that they're doing their maintenance checklists, you know, those types of things are incredibly valuable. So I definitely think it's worth the little bit extra that we're paying for it. Mm.
The calculation makes sense to me, too, for the reasons that Councilman Gebhardt stated. Let's see. So with the tracking as well, I imagine that some households are more prone than others to put things in the recycling carts that shouldn't be there. I remember a little while ago, one of my constituents was posting on Facebook, ranting about how diapers had fallen into the street. And it turns out that he had been putting used diapers in his recycling cart and was being indignant about Warwick not picking up used diapers as part of recycling, which boggles my mind that anyone would think that human feces could be recyclable. But anyways, I imagine that there are some households out there that have recycling issues, and that's a financial concern for our whole city, because it's my understanding that if there's enough stuff in a drop at the recycling facility that is simply not recyclable, they're going to reject that load. So is this software, is it the sort of thing where we can, really the city can use it to spot and track some of those more problematic areas and then use that to try to minimize those loads that are being returned?
I'm not sure if certainly we'll be able to identify problem constituents, but we've been doing that with boots on the ground. You know, we've had an inspector walking through the neighborhood and checking them. We know the areas that are more prone to rejected loads, and what they'll do is they'll hang an orange tag on it, push it back off the street, indicate why it was rejected, and then typically that's followed up with a phone call and an explanation. But this specific software obviously won't be able to do a lot of that. But yeah, we'll be able to see, you know, if there are problem spots. But yeah, diapers and recycling, that's pretty disgusting.
You can't make up some of this stuff. I'm glad that the department is staying on top of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you.